right. How many is ready to discover your true identity in Christ? Are you ready? Amen. And we are learning what it means to discover our identity in Christ. If we've made this very clear that if we don't understand it, the world will tell us who we are. Isn't that true? If we don't identify who we are, if we don't declare who we are, if we don't have an understanding of who we are, then the world will dictate to us and tell you who you are. This is why we're spending so much time today, and I believe today's subject matter is probably one of the most key components of the breakthrough of understanding your identity in Christ. We're going to talk about I am a child of God. This is something that there's got to be something that goes on, a switch that goes on in your heart, in your head today, that lets you realize that I truly am a child of God. You see, it's like God was obsessed with something, with letting us know, communicating to us in Scripture who we are in God. He was constantly, think about it, he was constantly let us know in Scripture. He let us know that we are the head and not the tail, that we are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people. He says that we have been redeemed. We have been adopted. We are children of the King. He continually is telling us over and over and over again from cover to cover. We see where God is trying to communicate to you and I who we are in Christ. Now, let me ask you this. Is God doing this because he forgot who we are? Does God have a problem with who we are? He knows who we are, and he knows the relationship he's destined for us to have with him. And so God doesn't have the problem. It's you and I that he's trying to benefit, right? It's you and I that he's trying to ingrain this into. It's you and I that we've got to get past this because we get it right here. We hear it. And then a message comes like today about being a child of God. And then we let it bounce off our heart and go, well, maybe that's for them. But I just don't know if that fully applies to me. And when we do that, we rob ourselves of the identity that God is wanting you and I to walk in. This key today that I am a child of God, it can unlock the key to a relationship with the Father that you've never experienced before. I'm telling you that God is longing to have such an intimate, such a real, such a personal relationship with you. You hear people say all the time, it's a personal relationship. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. What do they mean? It's what I'm talking about today. We're talking about this fact that God has called me his child. It's a father-child relationship that he's wanting to have with us. And if we can get this revelation, it can radically change your life. It can radically, drastically change your life. It will supernaturally change the way you think about God. It'll change the way you think about yourself. It'll change the way you see other people around you. It will change your relationship with the Father. So let's go right to 1 John today. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Look at this verse here. I love what John had to say. See what great love a father has lavished upon us, that we should be called what? Let's say it together. We shall be called the children of God. One more time. We are called the children of God. And that it was what we are. That is what we are, okay? Just in case you didn't get it, he tells us who we are, and then he reiterates it by saying, and that is what we are, children of God. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, verse 2 says, dear friends, now we are the children of God. Here it comes again. We are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we will know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to get more into this scripture in just a few minutes today. But how many has ever studied chameleons here? Anyone ever studied chameleons in school or read about them online? I mean, these are some of the most unique reptiles known. I just really love these chameleons. And the reason why they're so unique is they have the ability to change their skin color. Their molecule makeup, their cell makeup is totally made where they can change their skin color according to the environment they're in. Whether in a desert or in a tree, or whether in a rainforest or in a hot desert, they can change their environment. If they want to camouflage themselves to blend in so that the prey doesn't see them and the people, the prey they're hunting, doesn't see them as well, they can just reach out with that tongue and grab those bugs from across They never see them. They never see them coming because they just kind of camouflage themselves there. And when prey is after them, they can camouflage themselves to hide into the surrounding environment, or they can change their colors to be intimidating. They can get like bright blue or bright orange. I mean, they get all these crazy colors, and they can get really intimidating looking, or they can get real subdued. They can make themselves look sick, make themselves just turn really dark, subtle colors. I mean, it's a unique thing that happens here. And I think today that for many people that we have way too many Christian chameleons. Hang on, let me get back here behind this table. It might be a little safer today. I think we got way too many Christian chameleons today. Just think about it today, because we have way too many people who, when they're over here in this environment, they change colors to this. And when they're over here with this group of friends, they change colors to this. And when they go to work, they change colors to this. And then when they get home with their family, they change colors to this. And when they get to their family time, and now they're going to where? They're going to somewhere else to hang out at school. Then this is where they change the colors. And then they get around all these different people. And every time they get around a different group of people, they change their colors. Why? Because they're letting the environment they're in dictate who they are. You see, one of the things we have to get past as Christians is letting the environment dictate who I am. I can't let society dictate who I am. I've got to be very clear in my decision, in my knowledge, in my understanding who God has called me to be. And if I don't know I'm a child of God, and then I'll become a child of the world. I'll become a child to my job. I'll become a child to my past. I'll become a child to this person over here or this person's needs and what they want me to be. And we're spending all of our life chasing after people we're not, trying to be somebody we're not, trying to please people who really don't care about you. See, but when you get an idea and you get the idea into your heart and understanding that who God has called you to be, that He has called you to be a child of God, it sets you free. It sets you free where you can walk in a new identity, a new purpose, a new clarity because you know who you are. And today, stop being a Christian chameleon and say, you know what? I'm going to find out who my identity is. I'm going to find out who God's word says I am. And I want to live in that. There I will find my purpose. There I will find clarity. There I will find who I am. See, purpose and requires clarity. Purpose requires clarity on who you are and who you are not. See, I got to know who I am, and I got to know I'm not that. I got to say, you know what? Every time I get around these people over here, I just change, and that's not me. That's not me. I got to know that's not who I am. And even though my boss wants me to be this, and I got to submit to that, and I got to follow those rules. But at the same time, I can't be who I'm not. I've got to learn to be who God's called me to be. And I've got to learn that I've got certain giftings and callings. But more than anything, God affirms me, God calls me, and God has set me apart. And He has got a plan for my life. And my affirmation comes from the Father. And so therefore, I'm not allowing my affirmation to change me from other people. I'm not allowing my identity to change from other people. My identity is wrapped up in knowing who God has called me to be. So turn to your neighbor and say, do you know who you are? Say, I don't know about you, but I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. Stop letting the world tell you your purpose and your identity. Let's look at the second part of that verse we just read in John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now. See, we overlook this word now too much. It was put there for a reason, signifying something. The difference now, we are children of God. So if now we are children of God, it must clarify saying that something took place that has now put us into position of being called the children of God. Therefore, before, I wasn't a child of God. But now, I am a child of God. Are you following me here? Something had to take place. Something significant happened that now we are the children of God. Now something has happened. Now something has changed in the way we identify. We're now identifying as children of God. What took place? So let me ask you this. How many has ever looked at your family tree before? How many has ever did a search on your family tree? Raise your hand if you have. Okay. Let's put that up there. Look at this. I mean, think about it. You know, now with the online technology that we have and so many services out there, you can pay a fee and people go out there and search your family tree. And this is not my family tree. This is actually Pastor TJ's family tree. And so, as you can tell, but yes, you get to irony now. Okay, I just give him a hard time this morning. Okay, but we see where the family tree, and, you know, people pay a lot of money to find out who their family tree is, you know. And I think we do it, but we're kind of hoping that somewhere along the line, we hope there's an ex-president or maybe a former, or connected to the Queen of England or something. Something happens, you know, Or some of us are really like, you know, I hope somewhere in my family tree there's a billionaire in there somewhere, you know. And then we get back this information, and we look for it, we get back this information, and wow, some people find out, wow, you know, my uncle's cousin, second to the third generation, actually was kin to the cousin of Abraham Lincoln, you know. Or my third cousin to the fourth generation, to this, to that, and aunt, my second aunt's cousin, and was actually a billionaire. He actually was part of Microsoft, man, their ownership of Microsoft. They got all this money. So let me ask you this. If I find out that in my family tree are some very influential people, some very powerful people, maybe some very rich people, does that change me? Let me ask you this question. Does that benefit me? Why? Because I don't, give me some Jim out there. You can preach my message this morning. Because I have no relationship with them. So I can discover my family tree all I want. But if I don't know them, I stand up on the doorstep and hey, I discovered my family tree. Look, I'm your third cousin twice over to the Aunt Sally who was adopted by so-and-so. Yeah! They're like, shut the door. I don't know who you are. You know, who's this weirdo? Because of no relationship, that knowledge brings no benefit to me. See, the benefit of the family tree is the benefit of the relationship. That's why you can have people in a family tree that have no bloodline, but have a solid relationship and have solid benefits because of the relationship. And so today, we've got to move beyond. See, so many people, this is the way they're living their life. See, the now, something has changed. The now has changed. What has changed? See, something has changed. We got to discover our family tree. We see it. So we are all God's children, right? People say that. I mean, that's the message being quoted. We're all God's children. Let's give peace a chance, right? Amen? We're all God's children. And in theory, that is correct. He is the creator of the universe. He created Adam and Eve, and we all come from them. So therefore, we believe that God created everything, right? So there, in theory, we are all God's children. But in relationship, that's not true. Something's got to take place that moves me beyond to a child of God. You see, too many people are living their life in a creator-creation mentality. We have our relationship now has changed. Look at this. Our relationship now has changed from creator, creation, to father, child. Our relationship has changed from creator, creation, to father, child. Now we are children of God. See, now something took place. Now something happened. Now. Now something changed. And what is that change? The change is this. We are the family of God. We are the father-child. We are a father-child relationship. In theory, God is the creator. In theory, and we are his creation. But there's something deeper for every believer that if we will unlock this key, if we will unlock this in our life, if we will unlock this in our life, that we can step into a new dimension. We can step into a higher dimension than God. We can step into a different relationship with God, and that relationship is a father-son relationship. Father-daughter relationship. So turn to your neighbor and say, I am a child of God. Come on, say it like you would. I am a child of God. It's a relationship now. Now let's look it up in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Look what it says. But as many have received him, to them he gave the what? The right to become. Everybody say the right to become. the children of God. The right to become the children of God. To many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. It's like God was wanting us to get this, don't you think? I mean, in the last verse we just read, he mentioned it twice. Here he's mentioning it again. But as many as received him, to them he gave us the right. Something now has changed. Something now has changed. The right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name. They were not born, but not of this blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They've been born of God. It was like he was trying to tell us something. Remember Nicodemus? In John chapter 3, we see the story of Nicodemus. It says that Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night, right? There was a Pharisee man who came to Jesus in the middle of the night named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now see what's happening here. We have Nicodemus, who is a very educated man. He's a part of the Jewish Sanhedrin. And we see this Pharisee stepping up here. And he knows, he's like, all right, I'm putting it together. He's putting the family tree together. Wow, he just really might be the son of God. I'm seeing the signs. And so he goes on, and his natural thing is to say, "Teacher, good teacher." And then he's like, "Well, more than a good teacher." He goes, "I believe that you came from God. Because no one could perform these signs unless they were doing things that God was doing with them." And so in his own way, what he's saying to God is, "Hey, I see the family tree. I see it happening here. Here it is." And but Jesus reading his mind, Jesus reading his spirit, addresses the very important thing and says, "Listen, I understand you're seeing the family tree here. You're getting it in theory. But if you want to experience the kingdom of God, that only happens when you're born again. Let me break it down to you in today's language." He said, "Listen, Jack, I see the family tree. You've got that. Good job. But if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you've got to be a child of God. It's just not about knowing that I am the creator and that God has sent me, but you got to be born again. You got to give your life to me. You got to give your heart to me. You got to accept the work of the cross. We got to accept the work of the cross, that Jesus is on the cross. And then now things change. We enter into a relationship as a child of God. See, we have something that has changed. Now it has changed. We have become a child of God. Look at Romans 8:14. It says it again. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? The children of God. Those who are being led by the Spirit have become children of God. Galatians 3:26 says by faith. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Through faith, through faith. Do you think God is trying to tell us something? Do you think he's trying to get it into our brain, into our heart, that we really are children of God? I mean, multiple times we see where God is communicating to you and I that we are children of God. And he's wanting us. He says, and it's not just about the creator, creation. No. It goes beyond it. Something now has changed. When we enter into that relationship with the Father, when we say, "Yes, I believe in the cross, and yes, I believe in Jesus, and I'm making him Lord of my life," we now enter into a new relationship. Now this has changed. We have now become children of God. And you got to get this in your heart. You got to get this in your mind. You got to get this in your spirit that you really are a child of God. We talked about it last week, and I want to mention it again right here, that we are not orphaned. See, too many Christians are walking around with an orphan spirit. "God, if I don't perform, you're not going to like me. God, if I don't perform the way you want me to perform, then you're going to reject me." Stop that. You are a child of God. It's already been declared. It's already happened. When you accepted Jesus, you have entered into a relationship with the Father. So you got to unpack that mentality, put it out the door, and say, "You know what? It has no room in my life any longer. I am no longer a slave to that fear, but now I am a child of God. I am now walking in a new freedom." You see, we've got to let this unlock us. This revelation will unlock so many things in your life. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Who's perfect? Are you perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. There's only one who is perfect. And his love, the love of the Father, will cast aside, cast out all fear in our life. And when you don't have this revelation of that you are a child of God, then fear will dominate you. Then fear will come and intimidate your mind. Then fear will come and intimidate your relationship with God. You'll live your life in intimidation. God, am I really being heard or am I not being heard? God, do you really like me? Do you not like me? God, are you really happy with me or are you not happy? God, do you really want to use me? Do you not want to use me? God, are you? Am I really, really your child? See, fear will come in and give you a timid spirit. But perfect love. How do we receive the perfect love? When we have the understanding that I have been called a child of God. And so when I walk into a child-father relationship, everything changes. Everything changes. It begins to change the way I think, the way I talk, the way I act, my identity. See, it causes me to relieve and walk out of that valley of fear and walk into a new depth. What's it help me walk in? See, this revelation will help me deal with certain things. It helps me deal with worry. When you have a revelation that I'm a child of God, it helps me deal, number one, with worry. I won't be abandoned. I don't worry about God rejecting me. I don't worry about God leaving me. I don't worry about God not wanting me any longer. He wants me, He loves me, and He calls me His child. Let me say again. He wants me, He loves me, and He calls me His child. It helps me to deal with that worry. I can move beyond that point in my life. That has been settled. Have you ever been mad at your children? Raise your hand if you've been upset before. Yeah. Has it caused you not to love your children? No. No. It doesn't change, does it? It doesn't change. Why? Because they're our child. Nothing will ever change that. It may do things that suffer our relationship. It may suffer our fellowship. But they'll never, ever suffer our love. They will never, ever do anything to separate our love. Because that's the relationship we have. And so God is wanting us to see that when we're with Him, that relationship, it helps us to take care of the worry in our life. Number two, it helps me with winning. Turn to your neighbor and say, winning. How many like to win? Anybody like to win? See, when you enter into a father relationship with a father, a son, he helps us win. Let me put it to you in a different perspective. How many of you ever had your child come home with a class project, maybe for a science fair, maybe for something they're doing at school, and they got to put together something really cool, and they put together this cool idea, they do the research, and they start putting it all together, and as they're putting it together, you're looking at it going, boy, that's just not going to win. It's just not going to cut it. I mean, and you're sitting back because you want them to learn this on their own, you want them to do this on their own. But you're watching them, you're like, I'm going to the other room. I'm going to the room. And then you keep looking around the corner to see how they're doing. And then pretty soon you can't help it. Let me help you. Okay. If you just take this and put this here, and arrange this here, I'm not going to help you. You don't have to do the work, but I'm just going to help you. And you help them just enough so they can get a really good grade, but the teacher doesn't know you did it. But in the back of your mind, you know the teacher knows you really did it for them. Anyway. Give me those sugar cubes. Give me that glue gun. This is how you stack them up where they'll stay together. Ah, that's not landscape. Let's go. Midnight, we're going to the store at Walmart. Let's get all this landscape. You're buying everything from Legos to toys, and you put them back, and you're hot gluing them back on the gun, putting them out there. You're buying AstroTurf, and you're putting it out there. You're getting lamps. You're getting music. I mean, you're putting the whole thing together. Now, that's a winning thing right there. That's a winning project. Why? Because we just can't stand. We want to help our kids succeed, don't we? We want to help them win. It's just the very nature of being a parent. It's the very nature of being a parent. So, listen, do you not think the Father wants to see you succeed? Do you not think He wants to come along beside you and go, all right, I'm just going to help out a little here. I'm going to budge a little here. All right, I got this. And he wants to come along, and he wants to help you succeed. He wants to help you win. When you realize that, all right, I am a child of God, and God, you're going to cause all these things to work together for good. You're going to cause all these things I'm going through to work together for good. You're going to turn them around in my life. You're going to turn them around for my good. See, he sees you, and he knows when you need to win, and he knows when you need his help. Matter of fact, I'm here today to declare to somebody right now that help is on the way. That you are a child of God, and you are not walking through your season of darkness alone. That God sees you right where you're at, and he has not left you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. And I'm here to declare over your life right now, you are not alone because you are a child of God. You have not been orphaned, but he sees you, and he wants you to win. And he wants you to succeed. And no matter what that looks like, he wants to pull your life back together again. He wants to pull your relationships back together again. He wants to pull you out of the miry clay and put your feet out there on the solid rock and say, you know what? This is my child. This is my child. Now I am the child of God. Now something has happened. He's not just the creator, but now he's the father, and I'm the child. It changes my relationship. It helps me feel, number three, worthy. It helps me to feel worthy because on my own, I don't feel very worthy. On my own, I'm disqualified. On your own, you're disqualified. On your own, you're not worthy. But he has made us worthy by his grace. And because I know of that relationship with the Father. See, when I see him as the creator and me the creation, and then I basically see him as the big judge. And he's just waiting for me to make a mistake, and then bam! He's ready to do something to me. No, but see, when I see him as the father and me as the child, it changes that. It changes that relationship. But no matter, my kids know, no matter how upset I may get, they know my love for them will never, never waver. My love for them will never, ever change. My love for them will never weaken. My love will only grow stronger for them as the years pass because of our relationship. Does daddy got to be rough sometimes? Yeah. Does dad got to be tough sometimes? Yes. Does dad got to do things they don't like sometimes? Yes. But the love, they know that because of the love that I want what's best for them no matter what. And that love will sustain and bring them through. See, when you're feeling unworthy, it affects every part of our relationship with God. It even affects the way we pray. When you feel unworthy, it affects the way you pray. See, prayer is just not about how you see God. Prayer is also about how you see yourself. I know I'm the only one who's ever struggled with this prayer before, right? Huh? God, oh, God, I need some help, Lord. I need your help here at this area, God, in my life. And I need this, Lord, in my life. I surrender this in my life. And then my back of mind, they go, well, if I was a little better, God would probably answer my prayers. If I was worthy, if I had done better last week than I did this week, maybe he would have heard my... It affects my faith. It affects everything I do. You see, but prayer, my prayer life is just not affected by how I see God as he's able, but also I see God the way he sees me. And when I realize that he's called me a child of God, when I realize he's declared me a child of God, then I can boldly come to him. That's what it says. We boldly now can approach the throne of grace. Boldly. Why? Your kids, they have no problem barging in your room at 6 o'clock in the morning and asking what they want, do they? Or when they're teenagers, they barge in your room at 2 o'clock in the morning and ask what they want. They don't have any problem. I'm like, what are you thinking? It's like 1:30. I've been asleep for a long time. What are you doing waking me up? Well, I needed this day. I was thinking, but tomorrow I'm going to need about 5 extra bucks. Can I go ahead and get the money now? I'm like, man, you're treading on... What are you doing waking me up? Because of the relationship, they don't care. They boldly come on in. That's Dad. Dad, get over here. Forgive me. Dad, in confidence. You see, he wants us to walk in that same kind of, but God, Dad, I need you. Dad, I can boldly approach your throne. Dad. Because why? Because I am a child of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. This has got to sink into your heart. How many know that when people mess with your kids, they mess with the wrong thing? Come on now. I was reading a blog the other day about some parents that were talking about a kid who was being bullied at school. And we all know it's a big problem here in society, and you know, cyberbullying going on and people being bullied. And you know, back when we were kids, no one knew, because they just happened to, they'd wait for you around the corner and nobody knew online. Nobody could tweet it out, nobody could videotape it. You just got sucker punched, and I don't know what happened to them, you know. But nowadays, it's so much greater, you know, with cyberbullying going on and kids doing it. And so it's a big problem. And I was seeing this blog the other day where someone was writing about a problem, and this mom went off. I was like, you know, I just went to the other kids. When I had a problem with my kid's bully, I went to the parent and told the parent, every time your kid beats my kid up, I'm coming to your house and I'm going to beat you up. Learn to control your kid. Like, wow. You know what I was thinking? But you know what? You know, you just don't mess with people's kids. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm pretty good, but man, you mess with my kids, the pastor hat can come off. That may be surprising, right? You mess with someone's kids, you're messing on dangerous ground. You mess with someone's grandchildren, you're messing on really dangerous ground, right? And your grandma and grandpa say amen, okay? You know, why? Because it's just our nature to protect our children. It's just our nature. You don't mess. Why? It's a nature given to us as a father and mother. See, it's God's nature that when we enter into his relationship, that he wants to protect us. He wants what's best for us. And you can rest in that. See, when that happens, you can rest, number four, you can rest assured. It helps me rest assured when I realize that I'm a child of God. It helps me rest assured. Parents stress, kids rest. Parents stress and kids rest. Isn't that so true? I mean, our kids tonight, when they go to bed, especially our younger kids, they're not going to be stressing, thinking, man, I hope the bills are paid tomorrow. I hope I get up and I have something to eat tomorrow for lunch. My clothes will be there. Mama have my clothes laid out for me. I'll be ready to go. My lunch will be here at school, or they'll send it with me. Or, you know, we just don't think about it. The house will be here when I come home. We'll be somewhere. It's okay. Kids are not stressing about those things. Parents, we're like, ah! They go to bed and we're like, all right, how am I going to get the bill paid this month? All right, I got to hope I get this paid so I can pay this one this week and this one next week. Hopefully we can do this one and this week, this time. And we're stressing it out. Man, they came home, brought all their friends, ate all the food. So how am I going to pay this? You know, we're going to have ramen noodles on Monday. We're going to have ramen noodles with lasagna on Tuesday. We're going to have beanie weenies and ramen noodles on Thursday. All right, we're going to figure this thing out. We're going to stretch this thing out, make it happen. Parents stress, kids rest, right? It's just a natural thing to do. You see, so when I enter into the parent relationship, see, God wants us, listen, he wants us to learn. He wants us to learn this. He wants us to learn to rest in him the way our kids rest in us. God wants us to rest in him the way our children rest in us. How do they rest in us? He wants us to rest in his provision, that he's provider. He wants us to rest in his protection, that he's protecting us. He causes all things to work to good. And then we rest in his favor. We rest in his favor. I'm going to ask musicians to come this morning. How many like the favor of a father? I've shared before stories about the favors of father. I think I told you guys that I love all your kids. Man, some of you kids, especially some of you guys have been close to my kids, and so therefore by nature, man, we get really close, and I love your children like my own. But if your kid's in my house and I'm making sandwiches for everybody, and I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for everybody, and I drop one on the floor, I put it back up, put it on top, guess who my kid's getting the top one? Your kid, not my kid. Just telling you. Why? Why is that? Favor! I love your kids. I'll feed them. But we're going to show favor to our, come on, we all do it. We're going to show favor to our own kids and to our own grandkids. Come on, we're going to show favor. It's just the natural instinct of a parent. Rest in the favor. That I have been called a child of God. See, once you get this into your mind, into your spirit, it sets free the spirit of fear in your life. It sets free that orphan spirit. It allows you to walk into a new covenant, a new relationship. That I am a child of God. Let's bow our heads. Today as we close, I just want to ask you the question. Make sure today you have a chance to respond. If you're here, say, Pastor, first and foremost, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You're talking about becoming a child of God. I've seen him as the creator, but I've never accepted the work of the cross in my life. I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior in my life. And today, I realize I need to do that. I got to move beyond him just being the creator. And today, I need to make him the Lord of my life so I can enter into this relationship that you're talking about. We won't do anything to single you out or to embarrass you at all. But if you're here today and you say, I'm ready to accept Jesus, can you just lift your hand where I can see it? Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thanks, guys. Thank you. Anybody else say, today's my day. I'm ready to receive Jesus Christ. Raise it high. Right? If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. Say, today's my day. Thank you. Yeah, you can put those hands down. I see those other hands. Yes. Thank you. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say this prayer out loud. Those of you who raise your hands, and then as Christians around you, we're going to say this prayer with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for my sins. I surrender everything to you. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your grace and your mercy. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer for the first time. We say, welcome to the family, God. Come on. That's a big deal. Yeah. If you pray that prayer today, we want you to stop by the back. And when you leave, we got a free Bible in there. Inside that Bible, we've got some information we want to give you on next steps, things you can do next on your journey. It's just the beginning. As you stand today across the auditorium, how many say, Pastor, I'm ready for this to sink into my heart. I'm ready to stop worrying. I'm ready to stop worried about not feeling good enough. Today, I want to walk in the fact that I'm a child of God. Anybody here say this is speaking to me, directly to me? Anybody want to raise your hands? That was me. Yeah, lots of hands going up. Yeah. See, this is the key. We're going to unlock it. Reject the fear. We're going to close with this song. If you want to come to the front and worship, you're more than welcome to join us. Step out of your seat and say, you know what? I'm not going to be a slave to that fear spirit any longer, but now I'm going to walk as a child of God.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Fear to fall. And God, you're allowing right now a spirit of sonship, of daughtership, Lord, to flow into every believer's heart and mind today. God, I pray freedom today as they walk out of here. God, there's something that's clicking on the inside of their heart today that they realize that they truly are a child of God. And this sets them free in so many areas in their life. Father, I pray that is released today. Release today. Fear is gone. And there's a new hope, there's a new peace, there's a new freedom in you. And we say together, amen. And amen. Put your hands together one more time. Bless the Lord. Today, we love you so much. Before you leave, don't forget, sign-ups for the Kid Fest to my left back here. God bless you. We love you. Have a great afternoon.